Hey guys, it's Tim from Capes and Scows. It's time for your trade review. Your weekly trade review is sponsored by Superliminal Films, because why not? They're good guys. We just did an interview with J-Rod. Go check that out. I think you'll love it. Again, I'm Tim, and if you want to yell at me about how wrong I am about life in general, you can head on over to Twitter at @mad_dog_Tim. That's @mad_dog_Tim. You can tell me how awful I am. I enjoy all of those tweets. Coming up today, The Immortal Hulk, Volume 1, which your trade title is Or Is He Both? If you aren't familiar with The Immortal Hulk, it's not like any other Hulk story you've read before. Your writer is Al Ewing, your artist is Joe Bennett, your inker is Roy Jose, your letterer is Corey Pettit, as well as Travis Lanham on issue 2. Your colorist is Paul Mounts, and your cover artist is the ever-popular Alex Ross. Your basic plot is this. The Hulk died during Civil War II, and if you didn't follow that story, Hawkeye did it, because he asked him to. There's more to that story. Maybe I'll review Civil War II. I didn't like as much as this, so maybe I will. So, the Hulk died during Civil War II, Or did he? Hulk sightings keep happening, this time in Arizona. Bruce Banner did die. The problem for Bruce is that the Hulk can't. The Hulk takes on some rough characters as night falls, and those villains will not be the same if they live at all. So this is a pretty creative story by Al Ewing. He actually goes back to the original few issues where the Hulk was almost werewolf-like, or he'd come out at night and be stronger at night. And some of these elements are brought back into this, and I really like that. So some bullet points here for you is this is a Jekyll and Hyde-style horror story with Banner being out during the day and the Hulk coming out especially at night. There's some creative weaving of story points throughout the issues. The Hulk looks terrifying at times. He looks animalistic. Certain shots that Joe Bennett draws almost looks like, he looks like a giant ape. You know how like an ape would be yelling and like those teeth would be coming out, and it's just very imposing because their jaw structure comes out so wide. It's kind of like that, and I thought that was really, really good because, I mean, it's just a comic, and it looked terrifying. The death of the Hulk was the highlight of Civil War II, if you ask me, and I think this is even better. The Hulk is more vigilante slash monster than hero, and nobody's sure what to really think, what to make of him. The Green Door is an interesting concept involving gamma irradiated persons. I really enjoy this. I don't want to go into huge detail in this one about that because it's kind of what you build towards and they will explain it to you. And I'm sure if I review the second or third volume there, I will go into more detail about the Green Door, but definitely check that out. Also, a nice return for Sasquatch from Alpha Flight, who is a gamma irradiated hero as well. He ends the story arc helping a reporter track down Banner. And this ties up things that happened in Captain Marvel, because Captain Marvel's out in space with Alpha Flight. This just ties up a lot of loose ends, little things maybe we weren't thinking we'd get an end to, maybe they just would not explain away. And Al Ewing's like, no, I got a reason. Everything got a reason. It is worth pointing out some cool things. Issue 3 is really cool. It has three different artists working on it, where you have three different people recalling their interactions with the Hulk with three different art styles, and it's really good stuff. Really good. You have art and colors by Paul Hornsheimer, Marguerite Sauvage, and Gary Brown. All three art styles look pretty different from each other, and I love that. I absolutely love it. There is a bonus content in here. It is from Avengers number 684, which features the Immortal Hulk's basically return. And it features the team that is on this book, as well as Jim Zub and Mark Waid, and it has a Mark Brooks cover. All those people are great. All of them. And I gotta tell you, Al Ewing, you get a special nod in this, because Al Ewing is so good at taking unique ideas and spinning them into gold. Even if you don't ultimately like what he writes, if it's not your cup of tea, he will make, I feel like they just throw oddball concepts at him. He's like, yeah, no, I can do that. So Al Ewing, very good at that. So the scores, Al Ewing for writer, you're getting a 9.5. I think this book is damn near flawless, and for a mainstream Big Two book, it's hard to do that anymore because you have so much creative input as far as what needs to happen because you're going to XYZ story beyond this. Your art by Joe Bennett, 8.5, really strong, really, really strong stuff, and like I said, the Hulk looks terrifying at times, and that is beautiful. beautiful. We have Roy Jose. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. Who knows? I say everything wrong. As your inks, the inks are really solid. I give them an 8 as well. There are times where you need a ton of dark tones and they are present. You're not really relying on dark colors, so the inks kind of being swathed over the page is what you need. Your letters by Corey Pettit as well as Travis Lanham, they're both getting an 8. Very good lettering. Sometimes they do some cool things with it, but they hold the fort down and nothing about the lettering is terrible. Colorist Paul Mount's coloring is great. I give it an 8. You can see this book's getting a really good review. Like I said, Paul Mounts has to use a darker color palette on most of the story, and I think he does a good job of conveying not just night and day, but, you know, day can have a lot of really nice bright colors where night absolutely cannot, and night just feels dreary. And your cover artist, Alex Ross. Alex Ross really had fun with what he could do with an undead Hulk, essentially. He's getting a 9. If you look at the cover gallery to this, they are fantastic. Some of the layout and the character positioning for certain things, really good. And just some of his best work in a while. I mean, he's great, of course, but this is just top-notch stuff. So my overall score for the book is going to get a 9 out of 10 for volume 1. And we'll see as I get to 2, 3, 4, 5. We'll see if it fluctuates or if it's relatively the same. I'm hoping it's the same or better. So my final thoughts is this book is really good. It's really solid. It kind of came out of nowhere. No one was expecting it. I like that they use some more obscure characters where, like, Sasquatch is not even the most obscure, which is fun. And I like that they tie up other things that seemed irrelevant or less important in other books. I like that they collaborated with the Avengers team at the time, which was Wade and Zub, and they kind of built something unique out of it. If you're not a Hulk person, but you are a horror person, you should check this out. The Hulk is just terrifying at times, and I really like the addition that he's not really a good guy. He's trying to do good things, especially Banner, but, I mean, if he has to break somebody, he will break somebody. So good job to everybody involved. I like this book a bunch. I will be reading the others, and they will show up on your podcast feed soon. And that's it. I'd like to thank everybody for checking out Capes and Scales. We've been doing really good. As always, I really appreciate all the support. If you have time, make sure you head over to iTunes and you rate and review, and that will help us get our Rotten Tomatoes status for Tapes and Scales. That would be just great. Speaking of Superliminal Films, our sponsor of today's thing. And that would be fantastic. Everybody have a great day. Be excellent to each other. All that jazz. And I will see you soon.